Blog Talk Radio.
Just 100 years after Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, 200,000 people converge on the nation's capital to rally for civil rights. They come by train, they come by bus and by air. They come from the north, the south, the east, and west. They come united in one cause, to urge Congress to pass a civil rights bill to end forever the blight of racial inequity. By 11:30, there are more than 200,000 thronging the mall, a crowd that is bigger than the most optimistic forecasts. Now there's a growing animation. It seems as if the demonstrators were finding strength in each other and discovered their cause was a bond. Arrests in Washington were below normal. Police attribute this to the fact that for the first time in 30 years, you couldn't even buy a beer in Washington. The civil rights marchers needed no stimulants like that. They provided their own, with songs that range from the sacred to the hillbilly, but with the one recurring theme, cause and 20 billion Negroes. Washington, D.C., 1963. Democracy speaks in a mighty voice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We have a great show tonight. It is January 9th, 2023, and it's 7:30 in New Mexico, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori from Michigan, and we have a special guest tonight. Her name is Cynthia A. Johnson. She is well known in Michigan and probably the Midwest. When she walks into a room, like her or not, one has to stop and take notice. Charming, energetic, charismatic, and talented, she commands a respect in a world that is controlled by the patriarchy. In a society where there is a sharp me versus them divide, she has a reputation as a fighter for the forgotten middle class and the downtrodden poor. She is relentless in all her pursuits. Whether she succeeds or fails, she never gives up. Cynthia A. Johnson served as a state representative in the House District 5. A former radio show host, Cynthia A. Johnson, and served many years on the various levels in the Michigan Departments of Corrections as a corrections officer and probation and parole agent. She has seen it all and done it all, prepared to lead and ready to serve. Many are ambitious and want to be public servants, but only a few are chosen. Now our guest going full throttle and hopes to be elected the next chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Kitchen Politics Radio 123 Radio Show with David Franklin and myself, Lori Picka, is proud to welcome Walsh College class of 1992 and Cody High School alumni, Cynthia A. Johnson. Please like and subscribe our www.facebook.com Kitchen Politics 123 radio show with David Franklin and Lori Picka. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking.
Yes, indeed. And the number to call is 515-605-9802. When you call in, say first name and where you're calling from. And if you have any questions for our guests, feel free to ask the guests and everything. We'll have her shortly. So, you know, before we get to this, a lot of things have been happening since the Republicans took over Congress. McCarthy is weak, and he's not going to be a good House Speaker. He may not even last long because Republicans are, or the radical Republicans are out of their minds, and he's unable to control them. Just ask John Boehner, just ask any Republican Speaker for the past 20 years. They're, they ran the insurrection, and they're not good people. And so we're going to pay a price in the next 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried because that run in 2021, January 6th, was just a test run, a trial run, you know. So God forbid that we'll have that again in 2025 when the electoral college votes are going to be counted and all. So let's just hope for the best, and let's hope Jack Smith does a good job in running the people responsible for the insurrection and finally get Donald Trump. But today, as we said, tonight we're going to, you know, talk to Cynthia A. Johnson. She's a woman for all the people. She's liked, and she's well-known in Michigan. And when she walks the room, like her or not, as you say, one has to stop and take notice. She just commands the room when she walks in. So look forward to speaking with her in the next 5 minutes and everything. So what's been going on in Michigan? The Flint water thing, is anything happening there with Flint? Or is the same one?
Well, they are slowly but surely replacing the piping, but I think it's more slowly than surely. I do believe they are still using bottled water. I do not think that justice has been served to the people of Flint. Do I ever think justice will be served to the people of Flint? Absolutely not. And the reason why is because they are mainly a black community, a black city, and that is why. Also, the governor at that time, Schneider, who knew what was going on, he can say all he wants for as many million times as he wants, but he knew what was going on in Flint, and he did nothing to stop it. And, of course, he got away scot-free. So I find it sad and very disturbing, and many people, many of the residents in Flint have a lot of health issues because of the lead in the water. You know, that is going to be an ongoing issue. They have, the children are having, like personality problems, anger issues, and the list goes on and on. I wish more attention would be paid to what happened in Flint because it was a travesty in my eyes. I went there a few times for a few different reasons, and I found the people very cordial and caring and non-deserving of what happened to them.
Yes, yes. We wish the people in Flint all the best, and hopefully good sense prevail and they get the help that they need, because it's been years now. And I don't know why, for the life of me, that Rick Schneider wasn't prosecuted, because he knew a year ahead in advance what was going on. But he didn't care because, as usual, you know, black people and minorities in the United States, they're just, like, looked down upon. And look what's happening, for example, in Mississippi with their water crisis, you know.
Yes,
if that were a white neighborhood, you know, in Jackson, Mississippi, if that were a white neighborhood, that would not happen, and people's heads would be rolling, and people would have to resign. So, again, black people are looked down upon and shunned down and, you know, taken for granted. When will this thing change?
And, you know, and the other thing in Flint, their homes, even if they wanted to move out of their homes and move to a different city, because of what happened in Flint to the water, their homes are worth nothing now. I mean, they're worth barely anything. So they can't even sell them to, you know, sell the home to make a little bit of a profit so that they could move on somewhere else. So that's the other part that's really sad. And I know that they are still fighting in Flint. I know that there are still people that are, you know, wanting justice, and hopefully they will get it eventually.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so we're going to bring Cynthia now online.
Okay.
The number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Be respectful with the questions and no shouting match. And if you have any TV or any appliance on, please turn them off before you come on air. It's very distracting and, you know, quite frankly, disrespectful because it's hard to hear over the noise and everything. So without further ado, here is Cynthia A. Johnson, candidate for Michigan Democratic Chair position. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
We can
loud
hear
and clear.
You. Yeah.
All right, great. Just wanted to make sure. I am just told that I have this opportunity to share with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you, because there are some things you don't know that I was, maybe you do know that I was born and raised in the city of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
where I currently live. I still stay in the house, same house that I moved to in 2001. And I've had people come up to me when I was elected, asking me why would I still stay in the neighborhood that I live in, and my answer always was because this is where I live. Am I supposed to go to a more influential neighborhood? I live directly in the hood, and the reason I did not move is because I'm not afraid of the people. I'm not afraid of telling government that, hey, pay attention to us over here. We know we're not downtown and we don't live in Midtown, but don't ignore us. And that I hope that always has been the message. And maybe you don't know that I was the woman who had to take or carry the cross on December 2nd, 2020. Sometimes we sometimes forget those who really are our friends. And as a minority vice chair sitting on the oversight committee on December 2nd, 2020, when Rudy Giuliani came to our state and came to the Capitol, and of course the Republicans, they allowed him to just run the whole committee for all intents and purposes. Well, Mr. Giuliani came there for the purpose of encouraging the legislators to use other electors. They allowed Donald Trump, for all intents and purposes, to sit there and tell the whole committee. Now, the whole committee being, the only black woman, the only woman, only black person sitting there was me. Mm-hmm. And so imagine this whole committee room. I mean, you know, maybe about 200 people, maybe. And most of except for one other person, and he's a Dem, but he's Hispanic, but everybody else was white. Can you imagine me being yelled at when I'm asking Rudy Giuliani if he and the president are honest men? Or when questioning Rudy Giuliani and his guest, if they could spell their names and if they could be placed on the record under oath, both times, again, gaveled down. Well, I'll tell you, the reason that I was gaveled down is because I'm supposed to be, let me make this clear. The country in which we live is pretty much no different than other countries that are run by white, mostly white men.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that, yeah.
And so when Cynthia A. Johnson, the audacity to ask such a those questions and to challenge the president of the United States by telling them, you're not going to take the votes away from Detroiters. You're not going to come up in here and disrespect my people right in my face. But that's what happened.
Wow.
The disrespect, the disregard of women, disregard, the disrespect of black people, the audacity of Cynthia A. Johnson having so much nerve to question this white man. That's what it really was about. You don't question us. You're supposed to be on that committee. The world is supposed to see a black face, because if we see a black face, that means that we have finally reached. We're finally overcoming. There is no more racism if you see a black face. Now, you understand that that's all tongue-in-cheek. You know that that's not the truth.
Yes.
But that's the narrative that is played against all of us, against black people, white people, Asians. It's just, we're just being played. So, after all of that, and about 6 days of me being attacked, emails, phone calls, threats to my family, we'll come out and put a cross in front of your house. You
all
watch
because,
where you're going.
All because you questioned Giuliani.
Now, hold on.
Giuliani.
Yeah, absolutely. All because I had the audacity. You are not supposed to open your mouth, lady. So, for a whole 6 days, I received threats. And so I went to Facebook Live. This was on, this was on December 8th, I think it was, December 8th, 2020. I went on Facebook Live, and I began to talk to my supporters. And I called them my soldiers.
Absolutely.
And then I began to tell my soldiers to be in order. When there are people who are supporting these MAGAs or anybody else like that for that matter, anytime they're supporting them, you fight them back. You hit them in the pocketbook. You don't shop with these companies like Home Depot, and I could name others.
Oh yeah,
I didn't say all that, but those the soldiers, my supporters, like you all understood what I was saying. However, they took that 3-minute video and. There's a story on that too. If you go,
still there?
Oh yes, I'm still here. Hello. Oh, I think for some reason we got cut off.
Maybe
I don't know what happened there, but
she'll call back.
That tends to happen for some reason. Oh, here she is again. Sorry about that, whoever listening.
Cynthia,
I don't know what happened, but, you know, sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's quite okay. And so what was the last word that I said? Oh, boy.
your soldiers.
Okay, so my soldiers, yeah, but, okay.
Hit them in the pocketbook.
So, exactly. And so I was just saying that, you know, saying that, and so, and there is a story behind that. That's what I was about to say. If you Google Cynthia A. Johnson rabbit hole, Google that, and you can find that story. And it speaks about, and this one reporter by the name of Todd Haywood, Todd, if you're listening, I'm so sorry, I'm messing up your name. Haywood, I think it is. He beautifully laid it out what he found. But anyway, they took 30, they made something out of my plea to my soldiers and my request that they stop messing with me. They were sending threats. I mean, it was just real bad, really bad. And so I was awakened by the then leader of the house. And it was like 9 o'clock. And I was awakened. Yeah, I was, because I was talking. And anyway, so I was awakened. And she says, "Rep, have you seen the news, or have you seen the video?" And I didn't know what the hell she was talking about, because I knew what I had, you know, posted. I knew what I had posted. But I didn't find out really the depth of it until actually right after I got finished talking to her. The media, it was just, it was so crazy. And when I looked and I said, "What the hell is this? This is not what I posted." And the way they had posted it, it was like I was attacking, going to war. They did that purposely, and they used that. So anyway, that same day, the Republican leadership came out with a news release saying that I was being stripped from all of my committees. That was nothing but, that was nothing but red meat to the base. That's all that was. And saying that I was going to be stripped from the committees, and it was just condemning me. I mean, and that came from Lee Chatfield, the leader. No, he wasn't the leader. He was the speaker. No. Excuse me.
He was the speaker at the time. Yeah, he was.
Exactly. That's right. He was going out, so he just threw this red meat. He just threw this black woman to the wolves. He just said, "Hey, it doesn't matter. You happen to be collateral damage, so we're throwing you out to the wolves." Anyway.
That's terrible.
Tell me, did my party, that the Michigan Democratic Party, did my caucus stand up for me? Absolutely not.
It doesn't sound
not.
Like it, Cynthia.
It absolutely.
Like,
they
I mean,
did
I don't know.
Not.
I don't know, but I'm thinking it did not.
No, I can tell you that they did not. As a matter of fact, when the Republicans came out with their letters, the Democratic leader came out with her letter, regurgitating exactly what the Republicans were saying.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Never one time did they even, I was guilty immediately. Now, karma is something else.
Yeah.
Because Lee Chatfield is under scrutiny right now.
Oh, yeah.
For misusing campaign funds and for allegedly raping his then sister-in-law.
I know.
On an ongoing basis.
Yes.
So,
that was an ongoing thing, Cynthia.
That's
that
what
was
I said.
Ongoing for years.
That's right. And
he
so,
was, and And Cynthia, the other thing that people need to understand is Lee Chatfield, his father was a preacher. Lee Chatfield, you know, I think he always professed himself as this perfect Christian family. Okay, that is what's sickening about the whole thing. A perfect Christian family. And all that time, what was he doing?
But their church is not the only one like that.
Oh, I know that. But I'm just saying.
When you think of the Republican Party, you can always think of them like this.
Yeah.
They are not pro-woman, even though they have women,
as legislators.
They're not pro-women. Okay. These women have been taught in the church, in the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple people or groups that are attracted. And it always bothers me to find that black men are attracted to the Republicans. But there's two reasons I believe black men are attracted. Either they are not pro-choice, definitely not that, but mm-hmm. they are abusers of women, or they claim that they're so holier than thou. Those are the mm-hmm. two types
mm-hmm.
that I see gravitate to the Republican Party. Now, I'm not talking businesses because, you know, we have business owners on the side too.
Right.
But the reason that I brought that up in the first place was that
you brought that up? Is that what you're asking, Cynthia?
No. I was about to tell you the reason that Chatfield was because
mm-hmm.
they condemned Cynthia A. Johnson, both Democrats mm-hmm. and Republicans. They condemned me, but not one time did the Republican Party come out with a statement at all condemning the actions of Lee Chatfield.
Not surprising.
Not one time did Jason Wentworth condemn him. But I was mm-hmm. immediately condemned. And by the way, his signature was also on that condemnation letter.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
That's a horrible story.
I just wanted to give some background.
Yeah, no problem.
And just to say that I don't dislike my party. I love the party that I belong to. And I want us to not only talk it, but I want us to walk it and mean it when we say all inclusive.
Yeah.
Because that is not the behavior that I have been seeing, but the party has sanctioned. And remember when I was talking about the black face?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They misuse our people. All of us, I'm talking. They think we are so stupid that the party is inclusive because we have mm-hmm. a black chief. Because we have a black chair, a chair that most caucus groups, other groups, organizations mm-hmm. have reached out to me and said how they feel dismissed and misused. how black women have helped this party so many ways.
Absolutely.
Yet we are dismissed.
Yeah.
Yet our needs are not met. According to the MDP's policy number 2, I think it's 2.4 or something like that. I can't look it up right now because I'm on the phone with you. But it states that if a member makes a request of a document or a policy, that that they have to give that. The reason that I bring that up is because I have decided to run as chair.
Absolutely.
But in running, but in running for chair, I wanted to get a list, of everybody. Well, I was told directly by an official of MDP that I have to pay 25 cents per name, which would cost me about 2,000 and something. My question is, why is that?
Does everybody have to do that, Cynthia?
That's exactly the question that I also asked in an email. And what is the purpose for the money?
Did you know
as a Democrat that your name was being sold?
Oh, I'm sure. For sure. I wouldn't
if that's
be surprised.
The case.
I wouldn't be surprised.
If that's the case. But we as a chair or as a party, I don't even want to talk as a chair right now. I'm just as a party. We need to make sure that we are pulling as many people into our camp as possible. We should be doing outreach. The issues that concern you and so many of us regarding Flint, there's no reason why our party as a party can't make some demands. Why aren't we reaching out? Why are we just reaching out only during election time?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jay.
So the Democratic Party basically taking the African American vote and minority vote for granted, like you stated, you know, just during election time, just when you see them, and then after that, they just disappear.
But they do that with all of us, all voters.
Not the black voter.
Understand this. It doesn't matter who's running, Democrats or Republicans or Greens or Libertarian. Doesn't matter. They're all doing the exact same thing. And and this bird, this left hand of the bird or the left wing, there are certain things that they want to do. And those certain things happen to be things that we also believe in. But they use, and I'm talking about, and I'm talking about our party right now because it needs to be some correction. Because they need to understand that my voice, it's not just my voice who's speaking on this. They get these people in office. Once they're in office, issues that affect black people are dismissed. And what I have learned is that if white people cannot benefit, then it doesn't happen. Let me take give you an example. Let's say a rural area. Let's say a rural area. That's not going to be a good example. Let's say a rural area that mostly are mostly indigenous people. And they have qualified people in their own community. But a lot of the contracts are given to white organizations. Six. Let's say, for instance, whatever the need is. It's sad to me that the community who's in need cannot just get the funding outright. Instead, it has to go through a third party for them to deliver those funds. And when they are delivering those funds, that means that they get administration fees. So, and that also means that, okay, if a person is in some kind of mental health need, let's say that.
And there's lots of it.
There are companies coming up with ideas and taking it to a legislator and saying, we need to have a 1-800 number, blah, blah, blah. Yet that same community who needs that, who's been begging, we need this. We need this. We can do this. Yet they're taken out of the financial part of it. And that's a cry and shame. That's one of the things that the Michigan Democratic Party, we need to make sure that fair is fair. But unfortunately, that's not been my experience.
I'm going to ask you just a question. Being that you had this experience, you know, when you were representative, and that happened to you with Rudy Giuliani, and now you want to go, you know, you want to be running for chair again. I mean, are you?
No, I've never run before. This is my first time running for chair.
Okay. No, I meant you were a representative before, and now you're running for chair is what I'm saying. So being that you want to run for chair and you are elected chair, you have goals, I assume, right?
Yes.
Tell me the steps of what you have to do to become elected chair. I guess because I don't know a whole lot about it, and I would like our listeners to understand what the job is of a chairperson in the MDP.
Okay, good. All right. In order to, first of all, let me say this, that a lot of people think because they vote in regular elections, let's say, for instance, we're voting for the president, you're a Democrat and you vote. Some people, even I was oblivious to this. I thought many people think that they automatically belong to this thing called the Michigan Democratic Party. But that's not the case. You have to, and the membership is free.
Right.
But if you want to get immediate membership, it will cost you $10. That's the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in order for me or anyone to even vote in these in this at the convention at Cobo mm-hmm. Hall, now as Huntington yep. Place.
Yeah.
In order to vote on February 11th, 2023,
mm-hmm.
you have to be a member of the party. And,
yes.
or, and so to be a member of the party means that you have filled out a little form or online. You've done it online, and you've mm-hmm. registered with the party, with this group of people. I guess I have to say it like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a party with fewer than 8,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to run for chair, you would have to be a member. I am not only a member, I am a paid member.
Okay,
so now you want to run and you have to go online and look for this, your intention to run.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already done that. And so it's with NDP. Last time I checked, there were mm-hmm. three people vying for that spot.
Okay.
Including a young man and me. And, of course,
okay.
The current chair.
Okay.
And so after doing that, then I keep hearing this thing about you have to have 500 I don't know if it's 500 people voting. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm focused on how are the votes being counted.
Okay.
Because, you see, I have been in the room, up front and close. And some of you have been there, too, and you saw this, where
mm-hmm.
we were voting, and all of a sudden we thought we were voting, or some of us didn't even vote, and we looked up, and we already had a chair. I remember that.
Okay.
I remember that. And so it would not surprise me. Nothing surprises me at this point. Okay, nothing surprises me, but
mm-hmm.
my focus will be on making sure that as a chair, we have at least one Zoom meeting open to members and
mm-hmm.
the public, and to give updates and address any concern from members of our party.
Mm-hmm.
I will be accessible. We don't need the behind the scenes type of leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The members need to know who your chair is. I will mm-hmm. be committed to building the MDP staff from ground up. Some people may not even make it.
I know you will.
I will be looking at policy. I
mm-hmm.
will,
mm-hmm.
along with my team, we will be going from ground, from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I will move quickly to make sure that our county caucuses, clubs, and other organizations within our party have regular and publicly open meetings. I want everybody mm-hmm. to know that the MDP, the Michigan Democratic Party office in Lansing, is going to be open. Mm-hmm. See, every time I go past there, the parking lot is empty when I used to go by there. Parking lot is empty. I've never heard of any taking place there. So my question is, what are we paying for that building for? What is it supposed to be? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to be about. It's going to be open, and it's going to have staff there. And we may need to have other MDP locations if we don't already.
Well, that would be good.
I'm going to direct my staff to make sure that the locals have the necessary information and resources, and we're going to have resources given to the locals. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do this one campaign, ramp it up, to provide resources to all candidates, and not just those at the top of the ticket, and not just those seats that we claim are not safe seats. Because not safe seats, it used to mean all of Detroit, but they've changed that too. But we understand what not safe seats are. And for years and years and years, and I don't remember when, we have been, many of us in the rural and in our communities of color have been ignored. That's just going to, it's going to change. I will take harassment, racism, bullying, and any violation of our party's conduct of code of conduct extremely serious. And I will, you know what I'm saying? I will create a specific staff position that will focus on creating safe environments for both members of the party and the MDP staff.
Cynthia, I just want to give you an example. We had on our show Brian Jay, who was running for to replace Lisa McLean in District 10, it's District 9, and I live in this district, and we have been a red district for 20 years. He got absolutely no support from anyone in the Democratic Party. No one. And this district is a huge district, and it could have used support for him. I mean, he would have been a great candidate, but he got nothing from anyone. Mostly what he did receive, remember, David, he got threats daily.
Exactly. His little 4-year-old son.
Yes. To his son.
Threats from who?
From the Republicans.
From Trump.
From many Republicans.
Key parts of Republicans, QAnon Republicans.
Yes.
That's a shame.
And it was a shame because he would have been a great candidate. And then in District 10, where we had John James running against Carol Marlinga, who was also on our show at one time. Carol Marlinga would have been a great candidate as well. His campaign, I think he could have done a little bit better job, but I'm not a campaign manager. I don't know about those things, but
listen,
he lost.
Marlinga lost by 1,601 votes. That is the Democrats, our party's fault, because they barely set their foot in Macomb County.
That's what I'm trying to say. District 9 and 10 is huge, and it is a big chunk of this area. And it is John James and Lisa McLean, and it's awful. It's awful. Two MAGAs. We have two MAGAs there and running, you know, this part of the county. And it's really sad because they really got no help from the party. None. You know, why? You know, I mean, that should have been, in my eyes, that should have been a priority, being that it's a 9 and 10 are huge parties. They're huge, I'm sorry, they're huge counties. They're huge areas, you know, lots of people. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's another thing, too.
Yeah, and they did not have the name recognition. I don't know what the reason was, but it was sad in my eyes. You know, I really would have loved to have seen those two candidates win, but they didn't.
Well, that will not happen under my watch. It happens
mm-hmm.
often.
Yeah.
And I hear that often. That's
yeah.
like, look at Judge Terry Lynn Denning,
mm-hmm.
first
yes.
circuit judge in Macomb County.
Yeah.
And they didn't come to her defense.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that we should be concerned about. We also should be concerned about who's actually in our party. Who are they? Because I'll tell you, just because you have a D behind your name,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of D's who are not Democrats.
I believe that.
And we need to find out who these people are.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just giving
mm-hmm.
you some of the things that we plan on doing, and you know, just if the people come out, and I'm going to make one last plea to all
mm-hmm.
those who vote Democrat, or if you have Democratic values. If
mm-hmm.
you believe that all of us believe in fairness, equality,
mm-hmm.
equity for those who need
mm-hmm.
equity, if you believe in all those things, then I ask you to please make sure that you are registered with the Michigan
mm-hmm.
Democratic Party. I know some people
yep.
think it's country club. But let me tell you something. We
need you.
We need you, and the reason that we need you is because those who are pulling the strings really do not want you to vote. They really want to continue to do things the way it has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And when the people are elected. And I've been in those rooms, and I've had those threats,
mm-hmm.
and I've been folks have tried to buy me off just for
mm-hmm.
a vote. I'm going to tell you, we have to change that dynamic, that narrative. I know that we all need to participate. I know that, again, some of you think it's like a country club and, you know, no, but it's not as tight as it ought to be. And behaviors are allowed that should never be. And so please register. Register by no later than January 12th.
Okay.
Because you have to register by January 12th. Otherwise, you can go to the convention on February 11th, but you won't be able to vote. So
okay.
And I think also that you'll be able to vote online, if I'm not mistaken. But again, we need to make sure how the voting takes place. And we need
yeah.
to also make sure that there are no backroom deals.
Yeah,
period.
For sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's very important. You know.
Cynthia, I want to ask you a question.
Line,
mm-hmm.
Lisa, it's Lisa, right?
Elaine.
Okay.
Elaine.
Lisa, could you please explain line five?
Cynthia.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi. Could you please explain line five?
You're talking about up in the one where they want to dig the underneath the.
Yep.
Yeah, and they want to put.
Yeah, they want underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want it. You know what? And I don't even know how I voted on it. I probably voted no. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know enough information about it. You know, but I'll tell you that on one hand, it makes sense to make sure that the pipes are underground. But right now, the pipes are on the floor of the lake.
Yes, and they're 70 years old. And they have
yeah.
So I understand the pipes are leaking.
They have
are
been
they?
Leaking. Yes, they have been leaking. They have cracks in them. I've seen pictures online of it. Line 5 right now is closed, but Enbridge, the corporation Enbridge, is the one that wants to build a new pipeline and does not want to repair that one. I don't think a new pipeline would be dangerous. And I really think that, you know, it's been said that we don't really need this pipeline the way they are claiming that would cripple, you know, the Upper Peninsula. So, yeah, there's a lot, and that is something that I think we need to start
being vocal about it. We don't need it.
Right. And not only
we're
that,
supposed
Elaine,
to be, we're supposed to be energy
yeah.
Going towards the free energy.
Right.
And what are we going to do? Stop there because the big shots want a pipeline?
Right. And so what I think what would happen with that pipeline, if something were to go wrong, I mean, our Great Lakes would be destroyed. And,
yeah.
You know, we are the beacon of the clean water in the Great Lakes, the 20% of fresh water. We are it. And that's scary. That's very scary.
Yeah.
That's been on my mind for years.
Yeah.
So that would be something, Cynthia, that I would love, you know, to bring, if you know, when you are chair, to bring up something about that, because it's really important to the whole state of Michigan. It truly is. Mm-hmm. You know, our Great Lakes, that's our fresh water, you know.
I appreciate your
question,
and I appreciate your passion, girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Cynthia. I don't know what the process is like to run for the chairmanship of the Michigan Democratic Party, but, you know, is there a process where you could debate your opponent who is running for the same position, or is
oh,
just
my
like...
goodness. Listen. I would love to do that. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
we were talking, my group and I, we were talking about that. And
mm-hmm.
I would be absolutely willing to have a debate with her. Yes, I would be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it only makes sense, doesn't it? Why not?
That's right. Why not?
It only makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You have to debate for other positions. Why not that one, too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be
and have
wonderful.
You lined up any...
That would be
have
wonderful.
You lined up any...
mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say that would be wonderful if you could set up a debate on your platform.
No.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
We could try to do that.
Yeah, we're open
to
that. Definitely.
No, we could try.
Definitely. You know, so have you lined up any endorsement for the position, or you don't want to make that public as yet. And, you know, what does it look like in the campaign for the seat for chairmanship of the Michigan Democratic Party? Do you think, you know, you can win it or give them a good run for the money? Or what's your feeling going into this race?
You know, this is the very first time that I have been calm about any election that I've ever run, any mm-hmm. position that I've run. And I believe that this is a spiritual thing. I'm feeling great. It doesn't matter what happens out of this election, because my message will be heard worldwide, I'm sure. So I'll just leave it like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful.
I feel great. I feel fantastic.
All right, mm-hmm. Cynthia.
So because of the God that we serve, let me tell you, I believe that God's army is being created before our very eyes. I just believe that. There has to be change. There has to be change. We can't continue to go with the status quo. We just can't.
No, it's awful. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see wrong, we have to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And we need to protect our members, not work against mm-hmm. our members, not pick and choose mm-hmm. those who are doing the bidding of big business.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Whether you know it a lot or not, this is mm-hmm. nothing but a business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we
and to those who say, well, what about those companies, those financial supporters who were supporting the party, and maybe they'll leave. Well, if they do, then we'll know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
We'll know exactly mm-hmm. how they fit. We'll know their real purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about those members who, some of them will leave the Michigan Democratic Party. They won't become members under your lead. Well, if they leave too, same thing. We'll understand who they really are. Maybe we'll get some of those Republicans out of our party.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a bright side.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have no other questions for me, and if there's no other questions from your audience, because
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's no other questions.
Well, I can't think of any question right now. But it was a good interview, and we like hearing what you had to say. And thank mm-hmm. you so much. You can find Cynthia A. Johnson on Facebook. You know, you just drop our a private message and ask her about her campaign and what she plans to do as mm-hmm. chairman or chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. Cynthia, thank you so much for coming in and talking
Cynthia.
To us tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Listen,
thank you so much, Cynthia.
I appreciate
you
guys. And this, thank you so much. This was a very good interview. I appreciate the time that you've given. And continue
if you
to
have
do great
time,
work.
If you have time, we could have you on again. You can let us know how you're doing. I know that you're busy with all this, so it would be great. You know how to get a hold of me, Cynthia.
All right. Listen, everybody, good night.
Good night. Thank you
all right,
so
Cynthia,
much.
All right, Cynthia. Good night.
Take
good night.
Care.
Yes, man, that was Cynthia A. Johnson, former state
mm-hmm.
representative for House District Number 5. She was a corrections officer. And also,
mm-hmm.
I lose my train of thought there. Yeah, District 5, House District 5. She had her own radio show, Stand Up Now, with Cynthia A. Johnson for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And she served the Michigan Department of Corrections as a corrections officer and probation and parole agent. So she's throwing mm-hmm. her hat in the ring for the Michigan
yep.
Democratic Party chair position.
Mm-hmm.
First time she's running for the position. And, you know, if you're listening out there, we'd love to have the current chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party to come on our
mm-hmm.
show, and we'll talk about, you know, what she has done for the Michigan Democratic Party and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how, you know, she is helping spread the word and the policies of Governor Whitmer and helping
mm-hmm.
Michigan to turn blue. And for
yeah.
the first time since 1982, if I remember correctly, the House
yeah.
and the State Senate is blue now, majority.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. You
it
know.
Is an awesome thing. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
that's the
mm-hmm.
best thing that happened to Michigan in over, I think, 40 years. So, yeah,
mm-hmm,
it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to the Attorney
well,
General. Mm-hmm.
We'll have Elaine online. Hello, Elaine. How are you doing tonight?
Hi,
Elaine.
I hope everybody mm-hmm. had a nice holiday.
Yeah, it
yes,
was okay.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Anybody get that cold virus?
Not me, but I have a few friends that have been sick with it. Yeah,
I think David and I got it.
Yeah, I think David, did you get it? Yeah, I think you did.
Oh no, actually, the sinuses. I had really bad sinuses.
Oh.
I'm over that now and everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine ended up in the sinuses, anyways. Line
yeah.
five is very, very important. We can't lose
yeah.
sight of what we're fighting for. There are so many fires to put out.
There
I mean,
are.
We've got Washington. We've got the state of Michigan. We've got the other states
yeah.
to help. We've got
yeah.
California that's under siege by the weather.
Did you? I was shocked when I saw that tonight. I had no
one
idea.
One typhoon after another.
Yes. I can't believe California. I mean, if this is not climate change, what is it? I mean, seriously, what is it? You know?
And when that snow melts, what's going to happen with that water?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the news today and I said, oh, what do we fight next?
Oh, I know. That's exactly how I feel most days. It's like, what fire are they going to put out today? Because you know, there's always something, you know.
Well, I have a suggestion for the people out there. That when they get to feeling like we do, pick a subject and fight
yep.
for it. That's the only way we're going to get it done.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Pick a subject and fight
I'm
for
not.
It. If it's
yep.
line five, fight for it. If it's climate
yep.
change, fight for it.
You know, Line 5 has been going on for such a long time in Michigan. It's been a fight with this huge corporation forever. And, you know, it's at a standstill. And that Line 5 really worries me because I truly believe that it's just a clock ticking. And, you know, they keep wanting, they don't want to really repair it. They've done some repair, but they want to replace the line. And to me, that's even more dangerous. So, you know, keep that line shut down and just, you know, it's maddening.
Well,
it's maddening.
Well, there's talk about not having any gas stoves anymore. I mean, we seem to be going towards the better way to do things.
Yes.
You know, we're talking
yeah.
about solar power. Now,
yeah.
Canada gets just as much cold weather and just as many clouds as we do, and Canada has
yeah.
been using solar power. Geez, now let me think. My kids are 50 years. 50
yeah.
years, and yet
yeah.
we have naysayers saying that solar power won't work. It sure will work.
Yeah, I know. It does.
I mean, even
it
if
does.
It's only a quarter of the energy, but it's been proven
mm-hmm.
that it's more than a quarter of the energy. We
yeah.
have some long,
mm-hmm.
hot summer days, and we can store
mm-hmm.
that energy.
Mhm.
Yes.
We don't need. All right. well, there's a certain amount of oil that we're always going to need. But it's going to be minuscule if we go at it the right way. And that's what we have, how we have to talk to people. Okay, fine. I agree with you. We're always going to need oil. We're always going to need to fix the squeaky door with some oil. But it isn't going to be that amount of oil. It isn't going to be the emissions into the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
Yes. We'll have another call coming in from
Michigan.
Maybe
that's how we've got to go at it. And I've been you know, seeing more and more they're encouraging people to go to electric stoves, get away from gas. I mean, it's a start.
Yep.
You have to start somewhere.
They have to.
Yes.
That's right. You're absolutely
and we're
right.
Not all Mackinac Island. We're going to have horses. I'm sorry. It just isn't going to work.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
515-605-9802. We have Susie calling in from Michigan. Hello, Susie. Welcome to
how
the show.
You doing?
What's cooking for you?
I'm near Lake Michigan. You know, I can see it almost from my house. And line five is what's the name of that damn company? They're from Canada.
Enbridge.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
And they have, look what they did to the Kalamazoo River. They had a leak there. They barely fixed it. They have leaks all over the United States. They got another pipeline going. They don't take care of their shit. They don't care that it leaks in our country. How can they get away with that? That's what I'm pissed about.
It's been going around.
Because we let them.
Yeah, I know, but we the people. I mean, here where I live, in the summertime, they have signs out. Stop line five on their front lawns. People are pissed.
Yeah. They've been, Susie, this has been going on for probably 10 years now. You know, that line, when they started talking about line five, it was 60 years old at that time. So
I know. And what in their right minds would they do it under the bridge in Lake Michigan with freighters going by, dragging their lines on the ground, their anchors, that was the last one that they had the leak, and they're not repairing it. I mean, it, without Lake Michigan, what will we do? And Lake Huron.
No kidding.
I mean, that's what makes us money and tourism and everything else. And the way they have this company from Canada, plus it's not even the good oil. It's the sand pit oil. It's the worst crap you can have.
The tar crap.
Yep, absolutely.
It sinks. They can't even use buoys to take care of it. It just sinks and kills everything underneath, the fish and everything. And, you know, whitefish are disappearing and salmon are disappearing as it is, and we don't even have a major leak. But it's going to happen. And, you know,
I know,
how many people did they buy off? That's what I want to know.
Oh, God. Huge corporation. Who knows?
Yep. And it's only going to get worse with look who's in control of our U.S. Congress right now.
Oh.
Well,
I can't even see straight. I am so pissed. It's
awful. We've got to be more vocal than just signs. So maybe we need some signs down in my area in Macomb County, Line 5.
Yep.
Let my neighbors say, what are we talking about, Line 5? I forgot about Line 5.
Oh, no, I never have forgotten about it.
You know what? Give me a sign. I'll put it on my lawn. My neighbors will say, what's line five? I'll say, did you go camping? Yeah, we went up to the bridge. You like that water up there? Yeah, it's nice and clean. You want to keep it that way? Yeah. Well, we got to close down line five because if that oil spills, you're not going to be able to go camping up there. That's
forget the camping. You know how many people got big-ass multi-million-dollar houses along the lake? And what their house will be worth when you got that oil slick on the lake? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
just by my house here, if you want to buy a piece
of talking, get some signs so we can put them in Grosse Pointe. Get some signs so we can put them in St. Clair Shores. We're, you know, the pretend millionaires.
I mean, yep. They got leaks and crap down there. The Detroit River was awful. All those corporations throwing all their chemicals in there, too. But, I mean, at least we're up here, it was pristine. But now it's not going to be anymore. I mean, I'm just waiting for that to blow up. Oh, my God. It'll be horrible.
Yep, absolutely. So to change just for a moment, I love Hakeem Jeffries. I absolutely love that man. There is something about him. He's charming, and he's just very eloquent. You can tell that he's got a cool demeanor. He's very intelligent. And the night after Hakeem tries, you know, McCarthy finally became Speaker of the House after all the drama. And I just want to read the speech that Hakeem Jeffries said, right after McCarthy was named Speaker. And for me, this just hit home for me. I thought it was brilliant, and I'm just going to read it very quickly. It says, "We'll always put American values over autocracy, benevolence over bigotry, the Constitution over the cult, democracy over demagogues, economic opportunity over extremism, freedom over fascism, governing over gaslighting, hopefulness over hatred, inclusion over isolation, justice over judicial overreach, knowledge over kangaroo courts, liberty over limitation, maturity over Mar-a-Lago, normalcy over negativity, opportunity over obstruction, people over politics, quality of life issues over QAnon, reason over racism, substance over slander, triumph over tyranny, understand over ugliness, voting rights over voter suppression, working families over the well-connected, exile over xenophobia, yes, we can over you can't do it, and zealous representation over a zero-sum confrontation." I thought that was brilliant. He went through the whole
It was. I wish it would happen, too. I'm all
it
for it. I mean, he was brilliant. Absolutely.
Yep,
how are we
going to
get rid of McCarthy and all his cronies? That's going to be a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the thing about McCarthy is that he's so wicked and weak and fickle that, you know, in no time they'll get rid of him, and we'll have this double kill again where they go through ballot after ballot trying to pick somebody. And the sad thing about it, the night before he was finally elected to House Speaker, remember I gave that Charles Sumner analogy where he was beaten with a cane by a pro-slavery senator and was blooded on the Senate floor. They nearly came to blows on the House floor because McCarthy confronted, you know, the Matt Gaetz, and I don't remember who it was, but you know, somebody went after Matt Gaetz and some and the next Republican congressman held him back. So if they can't get the House in order to govern the country, why do they think, you know, that the American people would tolerate that? Because in March coming up is a debt ceiling. If they can't agree to elect a Speaker of the House, how can they handle that? I don't think they can. And pretty soon, McCarthy will be gone.
And the other thing that stood out, you know, that stood out to me was at the end there, and then when McCarthy turned around because there was yelling going on, you know, there's someone, they were yelling in confusion, all this stuff going on there. And he was like face to face with Matt Gaetz, you know, basically saying, "Why didn't you vote for me? I mean, for his freaking vote, it made me want to vomit. And I thought to myself, how can this be? How can this be? How can this man, after 50 tries, beg this mega Republican piece of crap that is beyond, and he is the one that in the morning with his seat said that he will never vote for him for today, tomorrow, he'll never be speaker next year. And lo and behold, guess what? After all the bullying, he sat down and then he voted. And that made me sick. It made me sick.
Well, he voted present. He voted present, and that's where the threshold,
but still,
you know. Let me put it this way. Stupidity was a disability. A few Trumpsters and QAnon Congress people would get monthly checks. You know, these people have no integrity, no backbone. They're doing the bidding of Donald Trump, who's trying to stay relevant in the political discourse. And Jack Smith is coming after him because already he has subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani, and he's going to subpoena a lot more people who, you know, was responsible and instigating the insurrection. And I have full faith in Jack Smith that, you know, Jack Smith will get all these people and put them behind bars where they belong, because America is a democracy. And you see what's happening in Brazil, and Brazil clamped that down immediately, and people will suffer the consequences for their actions. Why can't we have that in America? We have 18 months going on nearly 2 years, and Trump and those people not behind bars yet? Come on, we deserve better in America.
Those people were lined up. They arrested every single last one of them. Put him on a bus and took him to prison. That was it. They didn't play any games.
Awaiting trial.
Indeed.
Awaiting trial.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Did you catch McCarthy's speech on CNN?
No.
No. What was McCarthy saying?
Oh, McCarthy's speech on CNN is he was thanking Donald Trump.
Oh, yes,
cute. Made me want to vomit, believe me. He was thanking Donald Trump, and he was assuring Donald Trump that it was going to go his way.
Yep, I heard it. And that's absolutely right. He brought up Donald Trump's name and thanked him for helping him become speaker. The other thing that made me sick was that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she got a phone call from DT because someone actually took a photo of her cell phone because she had it up in the air.
I saw that.
Donald Trump is calling me, you know, like he's some kind of a god. This man is a traitor to our country. He's disgusting. He's disturbing. He belongs in prison. He's still talking lies. He's still out there. And it makes me want to vomit. And when I saw what happened in Brazil and how fast they just shut it down.
Yes. That's what we should do. I don't know. I just it's getting out of hand, and I think it's time that the justice start working for the people. This is over 2 years.
I know.
2 year anniversary
was
a few days ago, so now it's over 2 years.
Exactly.
Hey guys, I don't think Trump is running it. He was the excuse for it. It's the hard right Nazis, the fascists, that are running this, and they influence they're in Congress now, and they want to take over the government, and the Russians are backing it. They're pushing it online. They have been. It's just asshole was the excuse to have some figurehead at it because he's dumbass. But it's this other. It's scaring the crap out of me. It's what they're going to do to our government. They're changing all the laws. They're putting their people on the ethics committee, the law committee. They're going to do investigate the FBI and the CIA and the AG. Are you kidding me? They want to take Biden out of office and all this other stuff.
Yep.
For what? For doing a job and helping the people? it's just insane. I am so scared to death of what's happened to our democracy. And they were showing, I forget what channel I was watching, if it was CNN, talking about what happened in Brazil. And what's his name? Oh, crap, isn't it? That idiot that's online and backed Trump all the way that is, got a pardon from Trump,
Bannon?
You know? Bannon, yeah. He was pushing that overturning of in Brazil. He was online. He was pushing it. Same with that asshole on Fox, you know, the idiot that, I can't believe it. And that it influenced them down there to do the same damn thing they did up here.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what we need to do, and maybe you will, maybe you'll agree, maybe you won't agree. But there are quite a few people in this country, too many, who cannot afford the regular channels. You can't get the regular channels. What do they do? They buy a TV and they subscribe to Netflix because that's only $8 a month.
Mm-hmm.
There are too many people not even hearing the regular news. The regular news off of the regular stations, ABC, CBS, and NBC. I'm not talking about the cable ones. They're not even hearing the regular news. They're not hearing about the oil spills. They're not hearing about the killings. They're not hearing about nothing because of the fact we changed the way we communicate in this country. And there's too many people cannot afford it. They get the internet for their children to be able to do their homework on a computer, and then they have Netflix for entertainment, and they are not getting the news. You can agree with me, you can disagree with me, but think about it.
You're right. That cut a lot of people out from listening to what's real. And they're listening
people,
to fantasy bullshit.
Too many people. Too many people.
Yes,
especially
so I'm
the
Kevin
young
McCarthy.
Ones with some families that can't afford it. They get the cable for the kids to be able to do their homework. They get the internet for them. And then they get Netflix for the entertainment.
Yeah.
I see it in my
neighborhood.
I'm talking about the younger people. And these are the people that are going to be, continue to vote for us. We have got to change that. Our regular broadcasting programs should come in every single person's home. You should be able to take that plug and put it in the wall and get those three stations at least.
Yeah, you should. I agree.
You got to put an old-time antenna outside for that. Jessica did that, my daughter, so she could get that on her TV because she cut off cable because it was too expensive. So she streams and stuff like Disney and stuff for her kid. But, yeah, you're right. You can't get True Blue, ABC, NBC, PBS on TV anymore.
Okay, so on to Kevin McCarthy. And, okay, so Kevin McCarthy, though, the House adopted new rules, Democrats to cry, as a ransom note to America. Partisan lines divided the vote on rules, with no Democrat voting for them and only one Republican voting against it. The Republican-led House of Representatives on Monday adopted a package of internal rules that gave right-wing hardliners more leverage over the chamber's newly elected Republican Speaker, Kevin McCarthy. Lawmakers voted 220 to 213 for the legislation, with only one Republican against it, voting against it. All 212 Democrats voted against the rules package, saying it was full of concessions to the right wing of the Republican Party. The rules package, which will govern House operations over the next 2 years, represents an early test of McCarthy's ability to keep his caucus together after he suffered a humiliation of 14 failed ballots last week at the hands of 20 hardliners before finally being elected Speaker on Saturday. The legislation included key concessions that hardliners sought and McCarthy agreed to in his quest for the Speaker's gavel. The changes including include allowing a single lawmaker to call for his removal at any time. Other changes would place new restrictions on federal spending, potentially limiting McCarthy's ability to negotiate government funding packages with President Joe Biden, whose fellow Democrats control the Senate. So we're aiming for gridlock because these 20 hardliners, you know, not going to work with Joe Biden. Democrats denounced the legislation as a loose package for MAGA extremists that would favor wealthy corporations over workers, undermine congressional ethics standards, and lead to further restrictions on abortion services. Quote, these rules are not a serious attempt at governing. They're essentially a ransom note in America from the extreme right. This is what Congressman Jim McGovern said. McCarthy was hard at work on Capitol Hill on Monday prior to the House going into session, trying to head off any such revolt and ensure smooth passage for the rules package later on in the day. He can only afford to lose a handful of votes from his part in the House to avoid defeat on any measure. Now, this man McCarthy has no integrity, so he sold his soul to get the speaker's gavel, and now these 20 people are going to hold America hostage, basically, because, you know, they want their own way. They don't want to work with Democrats.
And they're putting all their people in at head of each committee, like the ethics committee, the governing committee, the appropriation committee, and, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what that's going to happen. They're going to overturn everything that Biden and the Democrats did.
Well,
or try to.
Yeah, and President Biden.
They got the votes.
Yeah, he has.
They got more Republicans than Democrats. How are the Democrats going to vote against them?
You need two-thirds of both houses to overturn what has been passed already. So they don't have a Senate, so there's no way that what Biden has signed already can be, you know, brought back. But the PPP loans and the infrastructure bills, a lot of money has been floating out there and everything. So what are the Republicans going to do to claw back some of that money? That's the thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well,
yeah.
They were talking that they're going to overturn the appropriations to have more IRS agents do audits on the very rich and the big corporations, which that other asshole that Trump had put pox on it. He cut so many people out of that. Remember the head of the Treasury and the IRS that Trump had?
Mm-hmm.
He had all his cronies cut all that out. And that's why, you know, they're having trouble raising money because they're not paying any taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you're willing to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again,
we're in deep
Kevin
shit.
McCarthy.
That's all I think.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy pledged to tackle immigration, woke education policies, and IRS funding. So the key points he was making is U.S. House of Representatives elect Kevin McCarthy of California. He made extraordinary concessions to win a small block of far-right holdouts, and McCarthy said that the tense shown on in the House floor was proof that he's not someone who gives up easily. Yeah, of course you do give up easily. You know, you've been to those 20 people who holding America hostage.
He gave up all his power. He has none.
Yeah.
He did it. He gave the gavel away and he kissed everybody's ass and he's just paper you know figure up there. That's it. He has no power whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's
and he's promising to carry out conservative American first agenda, tackling immigration crisis at the Mexican border, cutting back funding for the IRS, as Laura said, and woke indoctrination in our schools. You know, and there's no woke indoctrination. You know, decency is decency. What they're trying to teach is real history. But, of course, places like Texas whitewash American history, saying that, you know, for example, slaves. You know, Florida, yeah, slaves came over on a boat as guests. You know, that's what I have in the textbook now, the history textbooks, you know. And, you know, McCarthy laid out his ambitious plans addressing the 118th congressional session early Saturday. And he said that he wants to be the check and provide some balance to Joe Biden's policies.
Oh,
you know?
Give me a
Yeah, he will
yeah.
try
they
to appeal.
They have no policy.
More than...
They haven't voted for one damn thing to help the people.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that the Democrats put forward, the Republicans voted against. They didn't pass one damn thing. But they went and bragged about the bridges that are being built or the roads being fixed in their their area. But if they start to check, you know, I think Republicans get Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, too, don't you think? They start messing with that.
Mm-hmm.
You think everybody's going to bitch?
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, what they're going to try to do, you have to think about, this is what I think. And, you know, 2024, you know, when we blink our eyes, it'll be 2024 pretty soon. I mean, that's how fast time goes, at least to me, it seems to go quickly. And so what they're trying to do is basically make Joe Biden, our president, look weak, look senile, you know, block everything. Whatever he accomplished in the last 2 years, they want to destroy so that they can show his incompetence. And then run there, whoever they want to run in 2024. And that's their whole plan. I mean, that's always been their plan. They did that to President Obama as well, if you all remember that. They did the same thing to him. And, you know,
Congress.
And that part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri rightly said that the GOP elected a speaker who enabled a violent insurrection on the Capitol January 6th. Quote, Congresswoman Bush from Missouri, McCarthy sold out his gavel like he sold out our democracy to white supremacist insurrectionists, she said in a tweet this past Saturday. And that's not leadership. In a press conference early Saturday morning, McCarthy thanked former President Trump, like you said earlier, Lori, for his support. And he was crucial in securing the final vote McCarthy needed. So, again, he's beholden to Trump. And I'm going to play a three-minute clip of McCarthy praising Trump and that guy Gates for helping securing the speakership. And I call him Matt Gates. I have a nickname for him. Rapey McForehead, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ethics committee in that way investigate Matt Gaetz, what he did, even though it is proven, and they have receipts for Venmo, that he paid underage girls to have sex and brought them across state lines to have sex with them and bought them expensive gifts, even, you know, paid off the school fees and college loans and what have you. So here's McCarthy praising Trump and Gaetz.
McCarthy's nail-biting ride to Speaker of the House now sets Republicans on a path of combative showdowns over government spending, immigration, and entitlement programs. McCarthy's election as Speaker after the 15th vote in 4 days was filled with drama, confusion, and anger.
In his speech, though, to lawmakers just last night, McCarthy insisted, though, that Republicans now will unite on issues that are impacting the entire country. Chris Wolf joins us live in studio tonight with what the Republican plan is and how the Democrats may respond to it. Hey, Chris.
Hello, Rick, MB. Securing the border, getting America back on track. These are the things the new Republican House Speaker outlined early this morning after a grueling, dramatic week of voting and political wrangling to secure his position. And at the direction of the Republican Conference, I advance the name of Kevin McCarthy as the next Speaker of the House, the 118th Congress.
And so it's done. But many observers are now asking at what price Republican California Congressman Kevin McCarthy was finally elected House Speaker in a history-making post-midnight 15th vote early Saturday, overcoming hardline holdouts from his own ranks and tense moments on the floor where raw emotion boiled over.
the development caps a chaotic and 11th-hour deal-making behind closed doors with nearly two dozen far-right Republicans who are members of the House Freedom Caucus. Eager to confront President Joe Biden and the Democrats, McCarthy promised subpoenas and investigations. He credited former President Donald Trump for standing with him and for making late calls and, quote, helping get those final votes. The new House Speaker said he would repeal funding for 87,000 new IRS agents. He also said Congress will pass bills to fix the nation's urgent challenges. From wide open southern borders to American last energy policies to woke indoctrination in our schools. Now, speaking of committees, we will hold the swamp accountable. From the withdrawal of Afghanistan to the origins of COVID and to the weaponization of the FBI. Let me be very clear. We will use the power of the purse and the power of the subpoena to get the job done. And we will have much more and hear from Democratic leaders coming up in the next hour. Rick MB, back to you.
All right, Wolfie, look forward to it. Thanks.
Yes, that's the Republican priorities, really, which is not helping the American people one bit, but helping corporations. We'll have another call coming in. Say first name where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
What do you mean that it's helping corporations? Isn't corporations people?
No, corporations aren't people, Pianke. Corporations are corporations.
The Supreme Court in a decision said the corporations are people.
The Supreme Court are full of ideologues and right wingers.
This was decades ago.
Mm-hmm. If corporations are people, Mitt Romney would have won in 2012. So,
corporations are listed as people. You know why?
Why?
Or should I say why companies aren't listed as people? They pay their taxes, don't they?
Nothing
wrong with corporations.
No, corporations haven't paid taxes in years.
Corporations do. I had a corporation. I paid taxes.
We're talking about a mega corporation.
You need to be more specific in what you're saying instead of trying to blanket things. 87,000. It's not 87,000 IRS agents. 50,000 are retired, so you're gonna replace them. It's 37,000 new IRS agents.
Mm-hmm. Well,
did
according
you not
to the news
that?
Report I just did, according to articles from USA News and other sources, that did say it was 87,000 new IRS agents will become.
It's 50,000 retiring. It's 50,000 retiring. That's being replaced. So that means a net gain of 37,000.
Where did you get that information?
So get these stories right.
Where'd you get your facts from?
They're talking about it on the Hill. Look at the Hill. It's easy for you to research that.
Where did you get your figures from?
Of that, because
the Hill. It's a daily upkeep of the political wrangling that goes on in the White House. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to the IRS website itself. It would tell you that they're replacing 50,000 that's retiring, and they're going to hire 37,000 more. They need to go after these illegals that's working in the country illegally, and they need to confiscate and seize any assets that they accumulate because you aren't supposed to be working in the United States. That's why you don't have a Social Security card, a Social Security number.
But, Pianke, why demonize migrants? Because the jobs that the migrants are doing, like picking fruit in Florida and California.
Man.
Okay. But the thing is, Americans aren't taking the jobs that they're doing because some Americans think that those jobs are below them. So you'd rather have the fruit rot in California and oranges rot in Florida.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I forget mm-hmm. your name. What's your name, Daniel?
David,
you come to the mm-hmm. country legally. Why do you want to break mm-hmm. the law? Article 42 is a law that Joe Biden is supposed to administer as the executive, and he's not doing so. He needs to be impeached on that. I should have been impeached on it. And rather than giving money, rather than giving all this aid.
And you pay Social Security, fella, when you have a green card, you pay taxes.
They don't have a green card. They don't
have
no green card. They are illegal.
A green card is not illegal. A green card is what is issued to people to work in this country.
That if they have a green card, if they have a green card, they are legal
in this country.
Okay.
If they have a green card, they are legal. We're talking about undocumented.
They are legal.
Okay.
I have a question. Shankar, so Americans not only take these menial jobs and everything, but yet still corporations hire these illegal immigrants. You'd rather
if anyone hire an illegal, like the ones down, the company down in Alabama, where they mm-hmm. went in and chased off about 400 illegals, the next day, you had local citizens wrapped around the block applying for jobs at that facility.
Yeah, right.
Another point. Given all this money mm-hmm. to the Ukraine, that money should have been used to replenish what had been taken out of the Social Security Trust Fund.
Oh, my God.
Why are you giving money? Why are you giving these countries all this money is aid to alleviate a problem that they complain and that their citizens are fleeing from, and they still fleeing from it. That's because the money is being squandered.
Why is Russia invading them? Why is Russia invading Ukraine? Why? Answer that question, fella. Why is Russia invading a peaceful country?
Yes.
Listen,
exactly.
I'm not worried about Ukrainian babies. I'm worried about American babies.
That is insane.
I didn't say nothing about babies. I said, why is Russia invading
That's something you have to ask between those two sovereign nations. That's why.
Who's the sovereign?
Okay.
David, you made another point talking about the whitewashing of history.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to know where that's going on.
I'd like to know why Russia is invading a peaceful country. You don't seem to have the answer for that, do you?
No, he's not.
Let's talk about Zelensky, who's a Jew, by the way.
Okay. Why is Putin invading a peaceful country?
Zelensky is a Jew, and mm-hmm. You're giving money to Ukraine that's being laundered and put into these cryptocurrency operations like FTX and recirculated and comes back into the United States on the blockchain.
Do you live in Russia? You sound like somebody who lives in Russia.
I'm a United States American black, natural
like
born.
Talk like one.
All right, Chancey, I have a question.
Can you control your audience?
You are wrong.
Hold on. I have a question for Pianke. You know, the Judiciary Committee is going to be led by Jim Jordan, you know, and he is fueling conspiracy theories and slated to be run by other extremist members of the
Congress.
What do you
mean he's fueling conspiracy theories?
Don't you think it's a witch hunt by Jim Jordan and Republicans?
A witch hunt on what?
When the Democrats had the House, they investigated Hunter Biden, they found nothing. So, again, the going back to Hunter Biden's, you know, computer, laptop, and they're going to find nothing again. Why did
you
just witch hunt?
How do you know what was and what was not found on there?
Because Democrats investigated and found nothing.
There's no way I would have conceded to a Kevin McCarthy. But I surely didn't want no Hakeem Jeffries. I would have maybe liked to have a Donald from down in Florida as the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You can take Kevin McCarthy and shove him.
You would want, excuse me, let me hear this again. You would want Donald Trump, the liar of the world.
David, did I say Donald Trump?
States of America.
Donald Trump?
A sovereign 200-year-old country. Really? What planet?
David, what did I say?
And my name is not.
See, that's where your problem lies, David. You don't like to clear things up. Now, what did I say?
I love to
about a speaker from Florida.
Story.
Don't you insult my friend?
What
you're
did I say, David?
Don't you insult my friend.
What did I say, David?
All right, last thing. Okay, last
David,
thing.
No, David. See, this is how you are too, David. You are very
hypocritical.
You've
got something against women, don't you?
I'm not being hypocritical. Once a time, please, we can't talk
over
each other.
David, who did I say I would have preferred to be speaker from down in Florida?
You're talking about the current governor, what's his name, the Satan.
I didn't say no current, Bill. I said Donald.
He's
Donald
a
Trump.
Congressman from Florida.
No, but
he's a black, he's an African-American congressperson from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And these white folks don't want to see him. They're trying to mix him up with
who
Donald Trump. You see who you got, witches? You see who you protect?
What are you doing? Race bait? What, you win an argument by race baiting? Shame on you.
Well, no, shame on you. Your ears, tune up your hearing aid.
No, you tune up your hearing aid.
Don't need one.
Yes,
okay,
you do. Yes, you do,
okay,
because,
well,
boy,
well,
you have
well,
been
well,
hearing the
minutes.
Wrong
well,
information.
We'll have 8 minutes. We'll have 8 minutes. Before election day, Jim Jordan released a stunt report angling for headlines claiming that the FBI spied on President Trump's campaign and ridiculed conservative Americans, and that the rot in the FBI festers in and proceeds from Washington. So these conspiracy theories by
Jim Jordan.
Is that no
conspiracy? The Twitter tweets show that the FBI was used to do things against American citizens, used to be weaponized, and it's not what they're supposed to be used at.
The FBI has no business
coming into a community, knocking on your door without checking in with the local sheriff or the local authorities.
When did they knock on your door?
When is the FBI knocking on your door?
No, they didn't knock on my door.
You mentioned something about the whitewashing of history. Could you please give me some evidence of that?
You give me some evidence. When did they knock on your door?
If it's the state of Texas that's doing so, that's the state of Texas. They have not the right to configure their election plan.
And you are, where do you live again? One time you called,
you
were talking about Chicago. Last time you called, you were talking about Missouri. Time before you called,
you
were talking about Arkansas. So exactly where do you live?
And David, can you control your callers?
No, we're trying to control your mouth. I'm not going to take the crap that you're putting out.
Everybody calm.
Will you control your, they are showing their ears, David.
Okay, Congressman, the FBI seized Congressman Scott Perry's cell phones by a court-authorized warrant, but yet still, Jim Jordan said that, you know, the FBI stopped a Republican congressman while he was on a family vacation to seize a cell phone. Now, Scott Perry was one of those people that Jenna Thomas and Matt Meadows text message and even call during the insurrection. You know, do you think that's a witch hunt on the part of the FBI? They're just doing their job. They're trying to get to the bottom of who were behind the insurrection, inspired by Donald Trump and Giuliani. Yeah, that's not a witch hunt. You know, no, Republicans who serve in their own.
Seizing people's cell phones that will, because you read their ping in the area, is against the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Oh,
that's illegal seizure.
The court ordered the subpoena, or the search warrant.
It's not illegal. It is not illegal.
You know, the search warrant was given by the court. So,
not,
you know, by
time.
Law, he had to give up his cell phone. That's not a witch hunt. That's trying to get to the truth.
If what they're doing, well, you know, they tried to give Apple to release the code so that they could unlock and also investigate people's cell phones, and the court said that Apple did not have to do it. That was during the Obama administration. Don't you remember that?
Donkey, I want to ask you one last question. Do you think that the insurrection was something horrific for our country?
Do I think that I don't think that the insurrection, if that's what you call it, was no good, nor was it one in 1954 when you had Puerto Rican Americans go in and start shooting up.
No. They tried to they went to our state capitol. They tried to overthrow our government. The insurrection.
How are you going to overthrow a government? That's literally impossible in the United States.
Oh, my gosh. You didn't see what was going on there that day?
When you overthrow your government, quote, unquote, you get rid of your representative by going to the polls.
That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were going to hang the vice president of the United States of America. And what do you think about that? Was that right to do?
We got John Lewis anti-lynching laws, don't we?
That's the right thing to do. Has nothing to do with laws. Was that the right? This is a mob. Was that the right thing for them to do, or why?
I'm against mob rule, whether they are elected. Well, ma'am, you asked me a question, but you just keep running your mouth. So when you ask the question, why don't you give the answer?
I didn't give an answer. I asked you if you thought the insurrection.
Is that okay? What you asked me was a question? Is that a question?
That's my question.
All right, then you go ahead and answer it, because when I try to answer it, you talk over me.
Okay.
All right, Priyanka, next time, can you call in earlier, because we literally have 1 minute to wrap up and everything. So thank everybody for calling in. Thanks, Cynthia A. Johnson. She's running for the Michigan Democratic Party chair. I want to thank everybody for listening and sharing on social media. Call again, everybody, Thursday. We'll start 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 7:30 p.m. On the West Coast. All right, till next time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, January 9th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. Laurie Pickett in Michigan, and everyone have a good evening. And God bless America.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, just bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and tell me, I'll know what you say. See, I'm sorry with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. The stars are color of remind me of us to keep thinking that we almost had it all.
Thank you.